This podcast episode is about what it's really like to drink ayahuasca. From start to finish, what does it feel like? What is it like afterwards? What is it like during? What are the physical, emotional, visual effects that a person can expect? This is something that I really wanted to know and tried very hard to find before I drank ayahuasca for the first time. But it's kind of an interesting thing with all the information out there. And after all my research, I found myself more lost and more confused than before because there are just so many different perspectives and opinions and reports with this mysterious medicine. And what me and Patty are going to do in this episode is do our best not to give away, like, you know, cause you to open up your presents before Christmas, but to give you a little something tangible, more tangible than we had going in. Because on one hand, it's difficult to talk about. It is very individual. With that said, I've drank about, I don't know, 40, 50 times. I can say, I feel confident that I could speak about it a little more. Like there are some things I think I can say with confidence that are fairly universal. And maybe the ayahuasca is going to bite me in the butt next time I drink, but I feel like there can be more said about it. And anyways, I think as long as we preface this episode by saying, like, listen, this is just our experience, which is extremely limited. You really never know what it's going to be like for you. That is true. It is very mysterious. The fact that we've drank 40, 50 times is nothing. It does not make us experience in the slightest. However, we're going to do our best because I know if you're like I was, you're very curious. So we're going to do our best to share with you what it's like before, during, and after as best we can. Right, babe?
Yes.
So just to say real quick, there's a reason why a lot of people choose on purpose not to speak too much about it. And it's because they don't want to plant seeds of expectation, which I understand because that can block out perhaps the magic that could be coming to you. And in fact, the shamans that we work with, they say almost nothing about it. You want them to. You're listening. We always have a meeting before we drink for the first night when we run retreats. And they always say very little, but it's intelligent of them. There's a reason why they do that, and I respect that. At the same time, it's just one perspective. So, you know, we're gonna do our best to talk about it a little more than they do, but just to kind of give respect to their reasoning, it does make sense. But anyway, so how would you like to start this podcast? Well, what's it like before? You even said a moment ago before we filmed this that something that people rarely talk about is the experience before you even drink ayahuasca.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm doing the pre-calls, and one of the things that I always say on the call is as soon as you make the decision to drink, your life can start changing, because she's peeling back the layers and of the onion to get to the core of what you're deeply wanting to heal or work on or understand during the ceremony. And, you know, it's something that people don't really talk about, but it's part of the magic of the medicine, right? She's so intelligent, and you know, her energy goes way deeper than just the actual ceremony itself. And so as soon as people start to make the decision or they start to think about drinking ayahuasca, then sometimes things start to come up like, oh, I haven't thought about that in 20 years. Why is that memory coming up? Or man, I thought I was, I thought I had moved through this, you know, emotional block, but here it is coming up again. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the medicine starts working before you come and drink as a way to clear out and move through things to make it easier for you, or more, I don't want to say easier, to make the pathway less resistant in a way.
Yeah, for sure. And the one thing I want to just sort of mention that already we might have people curious. You may have noticed Patty refers to ayahuasca as like a person, like a she. She calls her a she. And there's a reason for that. That's one of the qualities I think that many people will report upon drinking what seems like just this cup of substance. It seems like this sort of benign sort of chemical compound, but when you are experiencing the ayahuasca, a lot of the times when it's especially when it comes on in a more obvious way, it does seem at least during the experience that you're not just on a drug, you're not just experiencing side effects of some kind of chemical compound. There is an intelligent, independent consciousness that you are almost dialoguing with, communicating with, being led by. It does seem like a spirit in its own right, and many people say it's a feminine spirit, so that's why she refers to ayahuasca not as it, but as a she.
Yeah, sorry about that. I do that with all the plants that I'm somewhat familiar with, is I give them sort of a personification, I
Yeah,
guess.
well, in this case, it's not just you with ayahuasca in
Right, of
particular.
course, yeah.
But you're right. You know, one of the things I've noticed a lot of the times is, you know, when I decide to drink ayahuasca, I'll have usually a reason. Like, I want to work through this, I want to work on this, et cetera. And a lot of times what'll happen is, just as you said, I will work on that way before. Like, I will almost need to come up with a new intention, sometimes many times over, because whatever I wanted to go in with was resolved, or at least like partially resolved. And that's kind of an interesting thing worth mentioning as well. It's almost like the ayahuasca, from what I've gathered, seems to kind of know, somehow know you, know your path, maybe know your karma even, know what you need, know what's unconscious and what needs to be healed. And on one hand, she'll kind of many times honor your intention. At the same time, at least I would almost gather in her mind, it's almost like, let's help Victor with this so I can do what I really think he needs come the ceremony time. Now that's a very like it's kind of a rigid way to communicate all that. And it's ayahuasca probably works on a much higher level that's not so specific as I just said, but my experience, it does seem as if that can sometimes be the case. Like, I have an intention, but so does she. And usually her intention, and always her intention, is a little bit more well-rounded, well thought out,
Yeah.
not just coming from my little mortal mind and what I think I need, you know?
Yeah, I always say ayahuasca gives you what she thinks you need, not what you think you need, not what you want, and not what you think you deserve. Sometimes they're in alignment with what she thinks you need, but more often than not, she's gonna, redirect the journey to give you exactly what you need. And you go into the ceremony and you're like, oh, I need this. And you come out of the ceremony and you're like, I didn't know that I needed what she gave me, but I needed that, you know?
Yeah. I've also had it where like I'd go in with a strong intention and then I would get it like resolved in like the first 5 minutes. And then it's like, oh, well, that was a lot simpler than I expected. And then it can open up into something completely different.
Yeah, oh, for me, my very first ceremony, it was exactly that. I went in with an intention, and as soon as I remembered to like go into my intention, it was like she answered it, and it wasn't even 5 minutes. It was like immediately she answered it, and then I was like, okay, well, why am I here then? If you're just going to answer my intention like that, why am I here? You know?
Yeah.
And then it took me on a whole nother journey that I didn't know I needed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's I guess the best we could do before. I would say, like, in general, oftentimes before people drink, especially if it's your first time, it's kind of like just like the dark night of the soul sometimes. What many people experience just during the spiritual awakening journey, where where your life starts to kind of shift around, things start to come up, and it can feel like your life is already starting to kind of change and rearrange itself. So what we spoke about before was more like insights would come, your intention might shift, but also your life starts to kind of can start to change because there's this powerful like influence of consciousness now present in your life. And it can, on one hand, move energy in you, move feelings, you know, resolve things. At the same time, it can all start to change. Your life can start to actually undergo change, I would say, even before you drink. Sometimes, and that's not always the case.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's one of the reasons why it's so difficult to speak about ayahuasca, because there are no exact rules.
No.
You know, I describe recently, this is something I just started doing, you know, each cup of medicine is a personalized prescription just for you. Yes, we're all drinking the same tea. Right? We're all drinking the same liquid. But as soon as it gets poured in that cup that you're going to drink from, it changes and it becomes a prescription just for you, for your own personal healing. So the cup of medicine that I'm drinking, yes, it's the same liquid, it's the same brew, and yet somehow it's going to give me something very different than what it's going to give you. And your experience is going to be vastly different. You know, and I get asked all the time, like, what's it like being on the medicine? What's it like being on the medicine? And I just kind of pause and I try to choose my words very wisely. And I say, you know, here are some things that you can, potentially expect that most people sort of experience. And also they're not limited to these things. And also you may not experience any of these things. And they don't really, they want more from me, but I, you know, it's hard to sort of put into words the particular experience because it's exactly prescribed just for the individual.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. Well, we'll try, but you're right on that. Let's move on though. Let's move on to like, not just before the ceremony, you know, let's talk about like one of the things that I found just really interesting and kind of neat about it was how ceremonial it was, at least the times I've drank, you know, where when we run retreats in Costa Rica, they're very ceremonial, and pretty much all the ones I've ever been to before that, it's not like just getting together with your friends and you pass around the cup of ayahuasca and the shaman kind of sits there. It's, you know, usually there's like an altar. There sometimes can be, it's usually done at night, and there's, everywhere I've drank, there's been like a nice preparatory, I don't know what you'd call it, like not an invocation. What do you call it? What are they?
Like a prayer?
Like a prayer. Like it's like a very sacred, ceremonial experience. I don't know how to really elaborate, unfortunately.
No, I think that's good. And you know, it's purposeful.
Yeah.
Right. You're going in intentionally with this.
Yeah. But even the environment, I would say, mm-hmm. like the setting is very like ceremonial. Like, you know, a lot of times people will all wear white and there are candles around. You feel like you're participating in a very like ancient, sacred, almost like a religious type of practice, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know, I find really cool, especially when you're there with like people you know and people you're like getting to know. It's like a really beautiful like bonding experience, even though like when you drink the medicine you're quiet and it's you're pretty much on your own, but you're also simultaneously with other people going through this shared experience. I just found it really neat. But anyway, so there's that, and then eventually you drink the medicine, and this is one of the things that also I got a lot of misinformation about. I remember I was curious about the taste. And I watched a YouTube video with Graham Hancock, who I love. I think he's a badass. Mm-hmm. And he described the taste. I forgot the words he chose, but he made it sound like it's the most repugnant, god-awful tasting thing you could ever imagine. And he said he put it in that way. He went on, had a few sentences strung together with a lot of very potent descriptive words, expressing just how disgusting he thought the taste was. So I went in there like ready to brace myself. And I was like, oh my God, Graham. You're being a baby. It's really not that bad. There's not that much liquid.
Yeah.
And it's like a little bitter, I'd say. notes of coffee, notes of like, would you say coffee, chocolate?
No.
No?
No, I really do not love the taste of ayahuasca. But one of the things that's nice is you're not drinking a whole lot of it. It's just a very, like a mouthful, you know? And it's bitter and sweet and
earthy
and
thick, sometimes slightly
sometimes thick, sometimes very thin and watery. It just kind of depends, but you know,
there's no need to brace yourself.
No,
it's really not a big deal.
If you can take a shot of tequila, you can drink a cup of ayahuasca,
and it's not even harsh like tequila. It's just
right, exactly,
strong.
And it's some people are like find it delicious. They love it.
Really? Who?
I've heard, and I'm like in awe of those people.
Wow.
Personally,
I wouldn't count on it being delicious for the majority.
I think it just kind of depends on what your personal preference is. It reminds me of molasses a bit, and yeah. I do not like the taste of molasses. So.
Yeah, I guess they'll just have to see for themselves.
Yeah, and you know. Different different vines have different taste.
Yeah, for sure. There's some variety
so
there.
So it just kind of depends on who's where are they getting the medicine, where are they harvesting it from, who's making it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. It's all relative. But, you know, as far as taste goes, I would just
Not worry too much about it, honestly.
Expect not to enjoy it, but just know it doesn't last. It's a very, very quick sort of thing.
Yeah. So then after that, obviously you go up, you drink the medicine. And I remember the first time I drank the ayahuasca, I remember I walked back to my little mattress and I was like, okay, it begins. I've drank ayahuasca. No turning back now. And I sat up and I kind of looked around. I was like waiting for something, waiting for my perception to change, waiting for this mysterious ayahuasca to present herself. And I remember just waiting and not really much happened, which is pretty common for first timers. Mm-hmm. It's you can't help but be expecting a lot, and sometimes ayahuasca like doesn't come on strong for new people. Not always, but it's not uncommon for someone to just wait there a couple hours and not really feel their first cup hardly at all. Mm-hmm. Would you say?
Yeah, I'd say it's more common than, you know, my first cup of medicine, I didn't feel it. You know, it wasn't until my second cup that I actually felt the medicine.
Which goes to show how interesting it is, because you would think like if it's got like the DMT, it's got the psychedelic components, like why wouldn't you feel it? But you don't. Mm-hmm. You'll literally sometimes even experienced drinkers, they'll drink it and they will feel nothing. They call it a nada. And then someone who's maybe half the size or even like say twice the size next to them has less, and they're like they're clearly having like a really they're very affected. It just it doesn't. It's interesting. Very, very mysterious in that way.
Yeah, it doesn't work on size. Like you can't dose it in the same way as you could dose like a, you know, Tylenol or something like that. Or like, you know, if you're a bigger person, you're going to need more alcohol to feel drunk. It's not like that with the medicine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always say if you're generally sensitive to other types of psychedelics, then you're probably going to be a little more sensitive to, you know, ayahuasca. But that is also not necessarily true.
Yep. Yeah. But eventually, you know, assuming you feel it, you do start to feel it. And as far as like the effects, they can range. But like for me, when I feel it, usually it's a combination of like waves of energy through my body. Like it almost like emanates from my stomach throughout my body. Like I can tell there's something in my system, you could say. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a visual component for sure, where I would say similar to other psychedelics, not exact, but similar types of visual distortions, like on mushrooms or something. There's some similarities. It's definitely a little different, obviously, but, and then this is where I guess it gets hard to explain. There definitely seems like eventually I find myself in an expanded state of awareness, mm-hmm. where I'm able to kind of look at myself and look at life just from a different perspective, you might say. I would argue a higher perspective, where you're seeing connections to things you couldn't see before. And I think this is what also allows you to heal and to transform, because all of a sudden you're kind of zooming out from your life and from your persona, from your ego. And all of a sudden you can kind of start to see the connectedness between your inner world and your life, and the way you think about yourself, the way you think about life. You just start to kind of see it from a different place, which is extremely helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting into the weeds a little bit though, because it's
yeah. Well,
it could be almost limiting what I'm saying, but that's just how I would describe how many times it is for myself.
Yeah. Well, what I usually tell people on the phone that ask me that, you know, what does it feel like? I usually say that the energy that you're describing, I describe it as like it's almost like you can feel your blood flowing through your veins, right? You can feel the blood like flowing through your body, that energy, right? You can feel it just sort of all over. And then, you know, as far as what you experience, it's so vast, right? You can experience visuals. You can not experience visuals. You can experience nothing. You can feel nothing, right?
Yeah.
And I tell people that no experience is an experience. And, you know,
in fact, that's a common one. And I'll just speak to that real quick. Like that you'll get sometimes people who are like, I didn't feel anything. But that sometimes is the lesson. It's like, well, how are you reacting to not feeling anything? Do you feel like I'm the only one who didn't feel something? There's something wrong with me? Or like it can bring up all your associations with being left out, being left behind, being abandoned, just for example, way beyond that. But sometimes it will play off of something as simple as you not experiencing anything, and yet that's your insight. Mm-hmm. You become aware of that. You become aware of like, oh, wow, I'm really attached in this case, as just an example.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So there's even like lots of growth in not feeling anything at all.
Right. I always say, well, pay attention. If you're not feeling anything, pay attention to your thoughts.
Yeah.
Where are your thoughts going? Are you angry? Are you, like you said, are you feeling left out? Are you going, why not me? How come everyone else is feeling it, but not me? You know?
Yeah.
And that right there is very telling in what your inner dialogues, your inner dialogue says and how it is. And that can be even more powerful in some cases than an actual journey. Right.
Yeah.
With visuals. Sometimes for me, the visuals are distracting.
Yeah.
You know, in some sense. And so, you know, no experience is an experience if you know how to work with it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But in general, you know, when you do feel it, it's reminiscent of other psychedelics. If you've done it, there's a visual component, a emotional component. Mm-hmm. There's you reach higher states of consciousness. Mm-hmm. But with all that said, you could almost look at those as side effects of the medicine. But beyond that, there's a way that almost can't be explained, where you are being oftentimes helped, guided, transformed, healed, made aware of, maybe utilizing a combination of those effects with like this underlying foundational intelligence, working with your own intuition, allowing you to kind of perceive of certain things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know how to put it always, beyond that.
I know that it's hard to put into words. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I go into ceremony expecting to be blown away. I expect to be blown away, and yet somehow she still manages to blow me away, even though I'm looking for it, I'm waiting for it, right? And that just shows the intelligence of the medicine and, you know, what she's actually capable of. And, you know, I also always, I've been saying this recently. I don't want to say I've always said it because I haven't, but you know, the medicine is so vast. And I say the one thing that I know about the medicine is that I know nothing. And that my current understanding of ayahuasca is always changing and always shifting, and it can shift dramatically just in one ceremony, and you know, everything I thought I knew about the medicine just kind of goes out the window, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And then I guess finally to say, it can be very strong, can be very mild. A strong experience doesn't imply it's more productive.
Mm-hmm.
A milder experience can be more life-changing and profound. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, there's a variety. You know, it can get extremely intense. It can get where you're like holding on and you're really hoping that you're like, oh God, I didn't know it could get like this type of vibe. And then there's other times where it's like so mild, you're almost wondering, is this it? Am I feeling it? Is this just my mind playing tricks on me, or is this the ayahuasca? I can't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in between.
Yeah.
And that's okay. What we've come to trust is the way the ayahuasca works with you on that night with that cup is fine. It's like, it's what you need. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of the things, the more I've drank, the more I've come to trust the experience. Even when it's intense, it's hard to trust. It's like, okay, I don't know.
Why did I do this to myself?
Actually, what's best for me? And yet there's always something there.
Yeah.
Or if it's mild, you realize, oh, maybe the next day you have something going on. You're like, okay, well, thank God that was mild, because mm-hmm. I would not have been able to handle this next thing. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for us to like give you that trust. We have, you know, developed it over quite a few sits, and it's still developing and still being tested and things like that. But there is an intelligence that we've come to trust, and which has allowed us as best we can, at least to try not to insist it comes forth in any certain way. Just like whatever happens, it's obviously for my best good. And our game plan is just to show up, have no expectation, and be present. Just mm-hmm. like our shamans say, I try to treat it like a meditation. I just try to literally just be in the now mm-hmm. and available. And then whatever happens, however it happens, is I'll be as present as possible for it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of different ways to work with the medicine as far as traditions go. And our facilitators have a sit up and be present, if you can, approach. It's not necessarily like the end all be all if you can't be present, right? Because that in there lies the treatment, right? The experience.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing that I just wanted to say was, our facilitators say there's beauty in the subtleties, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't use that wording. I kind of changed the wording, but there's beauty in the subtleties. And so if you are having a mild experience with ayahuasca, it's good. And if you're having a deep experience, that's good too. And there's no wrong way to experience the medicine. It simply just is. And whatever you're experiencing, you can just, you know, be there with it and know that it's not going to last forever, that at some point this will pass. And when it passes, you'll be wondering when you can do it again. I mean, that was my first experience. It was very uncomfortable physically, just didn't feel comfortable. I couldn't get comfortable lying in my spot. I was like moving all around. And I was like, man, when is this going to be over? I'm just so uncomfortable and nauseous, and I just want to throw up, but I can't. And as soon as it was over, I was like, when can I? I was like, that was not very pleasant, but all I can think about is, when can I do that again?
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's it kind of shows you how much there is to know, how much there is to learn about yourself and life. And it is. Yeah, it's fascinating is the way I would put it. But like you said, it doesn't last forever. And that can be nice to remember, because mm-hmm. there was one time I was struggling and I actually asked for help, and the shaman came and said, Victor, Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that was like music to my ear because it felt like, am I going to be like this forever? Kind of, it can feel that way sometimes. Yeah, but no, you can count on that. No matter how out there you get, it's like 4 or 5 hours max, you'll be better. You know, I've never seen it last like 10 hours. It's not like LSD or anything. It doesn't have that long of a lifespan. Can last a while, but a handful of hours, oftentimes less. And the scene will have changed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find yourself coming down and, you know, after ceremony, it's like with breath work, I always tell people, some people feel like they're just ecstatic. They're just in the, even if it was rough, they may have come to some type of conclusion. They feel amazing. They've broken through. They can't wait to tell you about it. Sometimes you just feel kind of like surprised by what came up for you, what was opened up, and you're still thinking about that, and it's going to take some time to come to terms with what was discovered within yourself, and you don't feel very good emotionally, physically. You feel sensitive, you feel tired, you feel agitated, and kind of anything in between. But nonetheless, all of that points to just how powerful of an experience it is, regardless of where you find yourself on the spectrum of mm-hmm. after effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's not really anything to add. It varies, you know, ceremony to ceremony, person to person, how you're going to feel after the medicine.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had ceremonies where I feel amazing, and I've had ceremonies where I'm like, I am never doing that again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, lo and behold, a couple of weeks go by and I'm like, when can I drink ayahuasca again?
Yeah. And that's worth mentioning as well. Many people, when they do drink, they don't just drink the one time. They drink in like a series. Like we do 3 nights where when we run retreats, I've been to another place that was 4 nights in a row.
Uh-huh.
Many times in the past, I've drank at places where it was 2 nights in a row and then something else on the third day. So what I've come to notice is it's like one long thing. So you don't have to put, if that's the case for you, if you're going to drink at a place where you drink multiple times, you don't have to get it all in the first night. Maybe the first night's mild, or maybe the first night's intense, and the second night's mild, and the third night everything comes together. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes that's still not the case. But most of the time I'd say, at least what I've observed at the retreat, when people are ready to go home, they feel like
Yeah, it's all come around
full circle. It's come around full circle. They feel good. They've kind of come to peace. And it starts to kind of make sense and click. Mm-hmm. Starts to. But then, worth mentioning, oftentimes your perspective can change dramatically once you leave.
Yeah.
You start, like, the conclusions you drew about yourself and where you're going in life can really begin to kind of change as you ground in and the medicine kind of leaves your system and you start thinking about it from maybe more of a logical place. Like, okay, what was that again? You know, and then that can change and evolve for years and years and years,
yeah.
Like your take on what happened, which goes to say, it doesn't matter. You don't have to necessarily wrestle with understanding what it was, what it meant, what you're supposed to do. It's something that's always changing and evolving. And there are benefits from each perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I say, it's always unfolding. And what you think when you leave ceremony is unfolding. And in a year from now, you're going to have a different perspective, most likely. Not necessarily, but a lot of times.
Yeah. In fact, that's kind of a neat thing to mention is, at least what I found, and many people have as well, that once you drink ayahuasca, it does seem like you have like an ally, like you have like this like source of guidance that can kind of come into your mm-hmm. reality from time to time. And just to kind of say what we were talking about before, I had at one time where I had like many ceremonies that were around maybe one particular theme. And for a while I was kind of static in terms of like my take on it and what it meant and what I was working with. But then there was one time when we were in Sedona and I just had this thought, this like alternative perspective that was vastly different. And in like almost one flash insight, it all made sense to me. And as I had this insight, I was like, where I happened to be looking in like the in our house was directly at this ayahuasca, your ayahuasca cup. Mm-hmm. It was like literally like I had this insight, and then like my vision kind of like, you know, came into focus, and I was staring directly at this ayahuasca cup. It was a very trippy, like synchronistic experience. But just goes to say, like, I had been thinking a certain way about my experiences, and then in one moment it changed dramatically.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I've had it where I've left a ceremony and I've been like, well, I don't really know what that means or what to do with all that information. And then a couple weeks or a couple months goes by and I'm just driving in the car and I have a thought and I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
You know, and it happens like that for people sometimes where they're maybe they didn't have a big journey, a deep journey. And so then a couple months later, then they understand it, you know, because that I don't really know why it happens, but my understanding is that it took some layers to be peeled off. And some, you know, I feel like ayahuasca's goal is for us to become empowered, loving, compassionate human beings that know ourselves. And being empowered means you're not giving your power away, not even to her, right? Not even to the medicine.
Yeah, which is common in the beginning.
Yes, I did it. And, you know, sometimes I think that she doesn't give us exactly what we're asking for because we are the ones that need to do the work to become empowered in that certain particular area. So, for example,
go ahead.
I don't want to say it right now.
Okay. Hey, buddy, we're just finishing a podcast. Will you just give us a few minutes, please? Thanks, bud.
Okay. So, for example, I was struggling with an eating disorder when I met the medicine. And as I continued to drink, I would go to the medicine with my secret intention. No one knew what I was struggling with. You didn't know. It was something that came out later. And I would go and I'd be like, can't you just help me with this? Like, can't you just make me stop? Like, I know you can just make me stop. And she said, yeah, but I'm not going to do that for you. You have to be the one to do it. And I would get really annoyed because I just wanted the easy route, but I needed to have the more challenging route in order to really fully heal that aspect of myself in a really deep way and a really empowered way so that I did it myself, right? And that's obviously an extreme sort of scenario, but, you know, sometimes she's not answering our intention because we're the ones that need to do the work and peel back those layers and peel back the internal things in order to really deeply heal in an empowered way.
Yeah. It's like she'd rather teach you to fish than give you the fish.
Exactly.
And that's worth mentioning as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's I would say, like, just to kind of close, like I do have to go to the gym in a second. Just some simple things to leave you all with. I'm glad you said that story, though. It's a very beautiful and important thing to say. But, like, just to kind of share with you some of the things that I've heard shamans describe ayahuasca as. One of them would say, it's nothing more than an expanded state of consciousness.
Mm.
It just expands your consciousness. It doesn't do anything to you. It makes you aware. That's one thing that someone we know said. Another one would say, it makes the unconscious conscious.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the unconscious conscious. How do our shamans, what's like their way of saying it? They don't really, I guess they don't have a one-liner, do they?
No, they don't. but I
mysterious, it's vast.
Yeah, it's mysterious. And
invisible energy, it's kind of the way they put it.
Mm-hmm. And I like to describe it as it's, you know, and I've heard it being described as this, and I kind of took it and I like it. You know, she's opening you up to different versions and different things that are already within you, right? It's a mirror. And how we see that mirror, you know, is so personal.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Sort of. We're a little heady, but that's cool. It's everyone, we all have different ways of explaining it.
Yeah, just a reflection of you.
Yeah, that's, I think, a reflection. That's a good way
to put it.
Yeah.
It's a reflection of you and what some of the things are that you might be carrying that you might not be aware of.
Yeah, I would say similar. There's, not getting into another tangent, similar to like dream interpretation.
Yeah.
Where like it is said, at least the Jungians say that like your dreams are like reflections of you. They're reflections, like if you see, for example, a person and they're attacking you. Well, there's a part of you attacking yourself sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that can be kind of helpful when you're trying to interpret, even though we don't recommend doing that too intensely, but like just like seeing it as a kind of just a reflection of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the ugliness can sometimes be a reflection of stuff within ourselves that we have deemed ugly.
Mm-hmm.
We have decided is unacceptable. So just, I like that to give your the way you put it more credit. Like the reflection, I think, can be very helpful for people during it. But with that said, there's more we could say, and perhaps we've already said too much. Honestly, I want to just leave you with this. Like, take everything what we said is like with a grain of salt. Know that it's your experience could contradict every single thing we said.
And we're not
at the same time, I think, you know, talking about it is can be helpful because sometimes you're on the medicine, you're like, oh yeah. And it can kind of like open up opportunities.
Right.
But what we don't want it to is to create this sort of enclosed perspective, like, well, Vic and Patty said it's like this, this, or this, and this. Partially true, but also it's beyond that.
Yeah.
And just to kind of remember that, like the best way to do it is to kind of trust if you feel the call to do it. You can trust that something inside of you will feel like a resonance with it. You can, and then when you show up as best you can, you forget all of what we just said here and you just are present in whatever way that means for you. You're just sitting there and you're self-aware, mm-hmm. and you're open. And then just there's always trusting what happens. And that's like the best attitude, I'd say, to get the most out of the experience.
Yeah. I mean, we are definitely not experts for sure.
No.
And so I just want to reiterate that we are not experts. We just have a little experience and we get asked a lot of questions about ayahuasca. So here we are just doing our best to put words to something that is extremely difficult to put words to.
Yeah. And limits it. Like everything we said limits what it really is.
Yes, exactly.
Just know that. Like this is not it.
Yeah. And if you are feeling called to the medicine in any capacity, you know, just if I could give any advice, it would just be allow it to unfold as it is and don't try to change what is. No, because you can't anyway.
Yes. So anyways, that's our cue, folks. Thank you for listening and I wish you well. Have an amazing week. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.